Hi, this is Pastor Jesse. I pray that today you are doing well in Christ and trusting in Him as your Savior, as your Lord, and as the one who cares for you as His own child and as the great shepherd of His sheep. And speaking of that, yesterday I started reading this book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. And I read about three quarters of the first chapter, and I just want to continue reading that today and finish the chapter. It's an interesting first paragraph that he begins with here in light of what's happening in our world. It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways, as will be seen in further chapters. Our mass mind, that is, our mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits, are all parallels of profound importance. Yet despite these adverse characteristics, Christ chooses us, buys us, calls us by name, makes us His own, and delights in caring for us. It is this last aspect which is really the third reason why we are under obligation to recognize His ownership of us. He literally lays Himself out for us continually. He is ever interceding for us. He is ever guiding us by His gracious Spirit. He is ever working on our behalf to ensure that we will benefit from His care. In fact, Psalm 23 might well be called David's hymn of praise to divine diligence. For the entire poem goes on to recount the manner in which the Good Shepherd spares no pains for the welfare of His sheep. Little wonder that the poet took pride in belonging to the Good Shepherd. Why shouldn't he? In memory, I can still see one of the sheep ranches in our district, which was operated by a tenant sheepman. He ought never to have been allowed to keep sheep. His stock were always thin, weak, and riddled with disease or parasites. Again and again, they would come and stand at the fence, staring blankly through the woven wire at the green, lush pastures which my flock enjoyed. Had they been able to speak, I am sure they would have said, "Oh, to be set free from this awful owner." This is a picture which has never left my memory. It is a picture of pathetic people the world over who have not known what it is to belong to the Good Shepherd, who suffer instead under sin and Satan. How amazing it is that individual men and women vehemently refuse and reject the claims of Christ on their lives. They fear that to acknowledge His ownership is to come under the rule of a tyrant. This is difficult to comprehend when one pauses to consider the character of Christ. Admittedly, there have been many false caricatures of this person, but an unbiased look at His life quickly reveals an individual of enormous compassion and incredible integrity. He was the most balanced and perhaps the most beloved being ever to enter the society of men. Though born amidst most disgusting surroundings, the member of a modest working family, he bore himself always with great dignity and assurance. Though he enjoyed no special advantages as a child, either in education or employment, his entire philosophy and outlook on life were the highest standards of human conduct ever set before mankind. Though he had no vast economic assets, political power, or military might, no other person ever made such an enormous impact on the world's history. Because of him, millions of people across almost 20 centuries of time have come into a life of decency and honor and noble conduct. Not only was he gentle and tender and true, but also righteous, stern as steel, and terribly tough on phony people. He was magnificent in his magnanimous spirit of forgiveness for fallen folk, but a terror to those who indulged in double talk or false pretenses. He came to set men free from their own sins, their own selves, their own fears. Those so liberated loved him with fierce loyalty. It is this one who insists that he was the Good Shepherd, the understanding shepherd, the concerned shepherd, who cares enough to seek out and save and restore lost men and women. He never hesitated to make it quite clear that when an individual once came under his management and control, there would be a certain new and unique relationship between him and them. There would be something very special about belonging to this particular shepherd. There would be a distinct mark upon the man or woman that differentiated them from the rest of the crowd. The day I bought my first 30 ewes, my neighbor and I sat on the dusty corral rails that enclosed the sheep pens and admired the choice, strong, well-bred ewes that had become mine. Turning to me, he handed me a large, sharp killing knife and remarked tersely, "Well, Philip, they're yours. Now you'll have to put your mark on them." I knew exactly what he meant. Each sheepman has his own distinctive earmark, which he cuts into one or other of the ears of his sheep. In this way, even at a distance, it is easy to determine to whom the sheep belongs. It was not the most pleasant procedure to catch each ewe in turn and lay her ear on a wooden block, then notch it deeply with the razor-sharp edge of the knife. There was pain for both of us. But from our mutual suffering, an indelible lifelong mark of ownership was made that could never be erased. And from then on, every sheep that came into my possession would bear my mark. There is an exciting parallel to this in the Old Testament. When a slave in any Hebrew household chose of his own free will to become a lifetime member of that home, he was subjected to a certain ritual. His master and owner would take him to his door, put his earlobe against the doorpost, and with an awl, puncture a hole through the ear. From then on, he was a man marked for life as belonging to that house. For the man or woman who recognizes the claim of Christ and gives allegiance to his absolute ownership, there comes the question of bearing his mark. The mark of the cross is that which should identify us with himself for all time. The question is, does it? Jesus made it clear when he stated emphatically, "If any man would be my disciple, that is, a follower, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Basically, what it amounts to is this: a person exchanges the fickle fortunes of living life by sheer whimsy for the more productive and satisfying adventure of being guided by God. It is a tragic truth that many people who really have never come under his direction or management claim that the Lord is my shepherd. They seem to hope that by merely admitting that he is their shepherd, somehow they will enjoy the benefits of his care and management, without paying the price of forfeiting their own fickle and foolish way of life. One cannot have it both ways. Either we belong or we don't. Jesus himself warned us that there would come a day when many would say, "Lord, in your name we did many wonderful things," but he will retort that he never knew us as his own. It is a most serious and sobering thought which should make us search our own hearts and motives and personal relationship to himself. Do I really belong to him? Do I really recognize his right to me? Do I respond to his authority and acknowledge his ownership? Do I find freedom and complete fulfillment in this arrangement? Do I sense a purpose and deep contentment because I am under his direction? Do I know rest and repose besides a definite sense of exciting adventure in belonging to him? If so, then with genuine gratitude and exaltation, I can exclaim proudly, just as David did, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I'm thrilled to belong to him, for it is thus that I shall flourish and thrive no matter what life may bring to me." That concludes chapter 1. And I am thankful for the opportunity to read through this book. And I hope it's encouraging and helpful to you. These are times of trial, times of pressure, times when our faith in Christ can shine. And my prayer is that each of you listening are truly sheep of the Great Shepherd. If not, I pray that today would be the day that you repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Lord and Savior. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.